going to bring this meeting. I'm going to bring this meeting of the Orange County Water District Board of Directors to order. Today is Wednesday, February 19th, and I will ask Director Tran to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Thank you. Please place up.
States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God.
Madam Clerk, if you will call the roll, please.
Roll call, Director Amezcua. Director Bilodeau.
Present.
Director Green. Director Jung.
Present. Good evening.
Director Meeks.
Here.
Director Nguyen.
Here.
Director Sheldon.
Here.
Director Tran.
Here.
Director Wygant.
Here.
Director Yeo.
Here.
Hey, you do have a quorum with nine directors present.
Great. Mr. General Manager, are there any items received too late to be agendized?
Sorry.
Okay. Now's the time for visitor participation. If anyone from the public would like to address the board on items within their jurisdiction, this would be the time for items that are not on the agenda this evening. Would anybody like to address us? I see no one in the room. Is there anyone online?
No hands raised.
Okay, then we'll move on. That brings us to the consent calendar, which consists of items 1 through 33. They will be passed with one motion unless a member of the board or a member of the public would like an item discussed separately. The screens don't work tonight, so if you can, if anybody wants to indicate to me if they want to pull an item. Mr. Sheldon?
Pull item 7, please.
Number 7. Anyone else like to pull an item off the consent calendar for separate action? We have a motion. And we have a second to the motion. Madam Clerk, if you will call the roll.
Jung, second.
If you want to start over, maybe.
Director Bilodeau?
Yes.
Director Green?
Yes.
Director Jung? Director Jung? Director Meeks?
Yes.
Director Nguyen? Director Sheldon? Director Tran? Director Wygant?
Yes.
Director Yeo?
Yes.
Director Jung's an aye. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Okay. That motion carries with 9 yes votes with Director Amezcua absent.
Okay, then that will take us to item number 7 on our agenda. And who shall present this or kick it off? Or do you have a question, Director Sheldon, you'd like to ask?
Staff could summarize the presentation.
If the staff could summarize their presentation, that would be great. Thank you, Mr. President.
I can see that.
Okay, thank you.
So we discussed this at the February 6th Communications and Legislative Committee. It's an appreciation luncheon for first responders, basically police and fire. It would be modeled after a similar event by South Orange County Water District that we became aware of. And the thought is just to show our appreciation to emergency first responders, which is basically local police and fire, as I mentioned. We'd probably hire a caterer. We would set up a bunch of tables out back and invite nearby agencies to attend if they can, depending on their schedules and shifts. We put together a pretty rough cost estimate of $10,000 in the agenda report. But we did learn that the South Orange County event I mentioned cost just over $8,000. That might be a little more accurate. There's kind of a secondary function of this event is it's just to have a lunch with our employees. Every summer, we try to have some sort of event with the employees. We've had we've barbecued hamburgers and hot dogs. We've had a taco vendor come in. So it would also kind of serve that purpose, getting the employees out, get everybody in all the departments to mingle and mix and socialize. So kind of a secondary benefit of the event. So I'll stop there and can answer any questions.
Okay. Director Sheldon.
Thank you, Mr. President. The staff report says up to 300 people. Where would we hold that at?
We would maybe between the MF East and the MF West, where we've had other events back there. We can squeeze in a lot of tables there.
I know that it was in the staff report, but you and I had a conversation on this, and I just wanted to confirm that some of the incidences that have occurred here, I think there is a writing on potential criminal activity in our parking lot, and that was perhaps half a dozen over the past 10 or 15 years. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's roughly correct. Looking back over the last 15 years, we've had a few incidents in the parking lot, people coming onto our site that were like belligerent or homeless. We've had a few incidents of staff visiting monitoring wells to take samples. And we had to call local police to kind of clear the area to make it safe for our staff. We have chemicals out back. We had one employee get exposed to chemicals. I mentioned we had a small fire recently. But if I look over the last 15 years, maybe 9, 10 events we've had with local first responders, maybe something similar a business might experience.
Okay. 15, 20 years. Were there any arrests?
No, not that I can remember.
And has that occurred much since we've installed the gates and we have a 24 man gate?
That's a good point. Recently, we have not had any events
since we have that protection, and since we've installed the fence or the wall around our property. How many times do we go out and do the work on the water samples at the testing wells?
That's a daily event. Maybe a half dozen employees will go out. Each employee, I don't know how many wells each employee samples, maybe two or three, four a day. So we have a lot of people out in the field every day.
We do over 1,000 a year?
Yeah, okay.
10 years, 10,000?
Yeah, that's so it's a relatively small amount.
Okay, so I think, I don't want to take any more time. I think my colleagues see that I'll be the first to say this evening that I 100% support the concept of supporting our first responders. I'm absolutely supportive of that. I think the question is how we do it. And I feel that this expenditure is not appropriate in light of our real interface. Other special districts like OCTA really don't have something extravagant as this. I think they have an open house and come and go, and I don't believe there's food there. But I think we can find other ways to do this that are respectful toward our taxpayers and toward the first responders. And that's why I'll be opposing this evening. And my last question is, you've added on this employee part of this. So if this does not occur, this item number 7, you'll still have the employee lunch.
We'd figure out something else to do.
You have it every year. I've been to them. So you will have it again.
Right.
You still have it. Okay. That won't change. Thank you.
Okay.
Go ahead. So, as you noted, part of this is getting the employees together. And I could support, I think that's has great value to the organization. Of having the employees get together in a social setting a little bit, organizing something, having activities, working together and just a little different activity than their regular business. So I could support something like this if that was kind of the function and that they were, I also think it's a benefit for people to serve. So if the concept of this was, hey, we're going to have this lunch, luncheon thing, and we're going to plan it. We're going to do this. And we want to honor our first responders and thank them. They're doing something just as a lot of organizations, adopt a family at Christmas time and things like that. That is within the scope of a building employee morale, building teamwork and things like that. So if it was approached in that kind of a perspective, I could support something like this, because I think it checks a lot of boxes that help our employees engage and work together moving forward.
Now that would be and
President Bilodeau, if I may, sir, this is Director John.
Organize something like this, and so we would kind of could kill two birds with one stone. So yes, that would be the idea.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, as long as we just don't like call a caterer and you know everything's just done and you show up and eat lunch, but like really working together to do something for the organization, I think has a lot of value. Thank you.
Okay, I see Director Jung asked to speak. Go ahead, Director Jung.
Thank you, President Bilodeau. You know, at $8,000 for an allocated budget for 300 employees, we're talking over $250 a meal. I mean, we can buy them all a steak at this point and a bottle of wine. I just don't find that this is an expenditure that's commensurate with what we're trying to do here. And I realize that we have to value our employees, we value our first responders, but we should also value our ratepayers and taxpayers. And I can't support this item at that budget, sir. Thank you.
Okay. Director Green.
Yeah, actually, two reasons I put this on the agenda is I was at Moulton Nigel and invited there to see their program. And all the employees came. That day was the big fire, so the fire authority did not come, but the sheriffs did come. And everyone mixed and spoke, and it was very social. And it seemed like the sheriffs knew Moulton very, very well. And we're at ease there. And what I was thinking of, if you come into our campus, and oh, I need to ask you, John, didn't we have somebody that actually got into our campus that wasn't supposed to be here and had to be removed since the guards? And that didn't happen that long ago.
I'm going to look around to see if staff remembers that incident. Yes. Okay. They're shaking.
Yeah, I was called, so I know. Okay, so at any rate, it does happen, and I believe there have been a couple of other incidents that have happened. At any rate, when you come into our campus, it's closed. You have to come through that gate, and then you come up, and when you see our building, that is not the entrance into our building unless you have a badge. So it's kind of counterintuitive. You have to go around the parking lot, all the way to the back to get to the front of our building, which is how most visitors come in. And then the lab is directly across from our building here. And what my idea was is when you think about what we do, very few of our first responders really know. And so I was hoping that we could bring in, they could get to know our employees, but more than that, our campus, so that they knew where to go, what was going on, so that they would know. Maybe the first responders who came for the fire in the lab know where the lab is now, but all the rest don't. How do they know to come in here? I assume somebody would go to the back, open up the doors and be here. And we do have employees here 24/7, but that means they would have to leave their own jobs to let the first responders in. And then we work with chemicals. We work with all kinds of substances. And I thought it would be really good for responders to know what we do, what we have on campus, and why. And that was really it. The lunch at Moulton, it was barbecue. I don't know if barbecue costs more or not. I usually don't order barbecue a lot, so I don't even know. But you could get pizzas, you could get hamburgers and hot dogs. I don't think it mattered what the meal was or what you were doing, or even if you had it. I think probably water or soft drinks or something might be nice for people, particularly if it was a hot day. But I wanted people, particularly first responders, to know what our campus is about. We do tours for the public, but they're at pretty specific times. But for responders to be coming in, we'd really have to plan that out. So that was my whole idea. It wasn't nefarious. It wasn't. And when you say, I really support our first responders, I really do, period. No exceptions, no anything. I do.
Yeah, that would be a benefit to give the make the first responders more familiar with our campus, perhaps even give them tours. One comment regarding the budget. The $8,000 or $10,000, whichever figure you want to use, that does include renting tables and perhaps even tents. I'd have to check with Gina, but it's not just all food. There's a.
I was going to say, boy. Okay.
Dr. Mesqua.
So thank you. So this item. Thank you, Kathy, for having for bringing it forward. I found it interesting that it was in the paper by media that covered all of our meetings because we approved millions of dollars. So it's very interesting that this was
phone call or notice. I want to say, and I'm with Kathy, and I think
I walked in.
100% support
for responders. 100%. 100%. Never a question about that. People send in emails about, you know, they took the job, they get paid, they know what they're doing. Yes, they do.
Kathy's point about them not knowing
where to go if there's an emergency is critical. If something happens in here, do they all know where to go? So you don't want to call it a luncheon, you want to call it a tour
and buy Costco pizza for
$10. Because it's good pizza at Costco.
You don't have to do a fancy barbecue or whatever you guys decide.
Costco sounds great pizza for $10 with Caesar salad that you can buy at Costco too. Big fats already.
Just shake them up, they're prepared. And I'll donate water. I'm sure other
board members will join me.
I'll donate water out of my personal money, not
City of San Antonio.
Because when you say you support first responders, do you really?
Do you really?
And I throw that out because $5, $10 pizza, yeah, it's not much. And I want to thank them because when you're all running out, they're running in.
And
none of us up here waste tax
dollars.
I've been sitting here for a year, and
it seems like 20 years, but I've only been sitting here a little over a year. I do not see wasteful spending ever. And John, thank you for that. Jeremy keeps us, you know,
informed what we're doing, and
there's very experienced board members up here that I listen and learn from. I work with Caesar very closely with the city.
There's no wasteful spending going.
So, however you want to do it, $10 Costco pizza, burgers, it doesn't matter to me. It's just to bring them in,
show them where things are at, because if the fire department responds and they don't have the right equipment on,
it's going to take a little longer, right? Like that. Chemicals that we have here. So
I would just say open it up for a tour day, you know.
Whoever comes in, maybe they're on duty, they drive through, pick up a piece of pizza or a burger, and drive out. Or they
actually stop and get out, you know, a captain or a battalion chief to say, show me
what you have here. How would I get here? Where do we go?
That to me is very important for the safety of our employees and the surrounding community.
And I'm going to leave you with this example.
I have a restraining order against
when I went to court this week,
the officers, the detectives are walking back into my office.
I said, how would you get in here if I called 911? He said, we can't, ma'am. We don't have a car to get in. We just bust the door down. I said, it would take you some time to get to me on the 8th floor. Yes, it would have, but we'll get there. We'll take care of you. So for me, am I talking about the there?
Yes.
I believe Huntington Beach has a tunnel that goes, you know, it looks like from
underneath.
City Hall.
Yep, it does.
So if you hear John call 911, will they know where to go? Will our employees have to stand out there and wave them down?
So this luncheon is not about giving taxpayer dollars away. And if 10,000 is too much, okay, reduce it. I don't have a problem with that. We'll get cost of it. But what's right is right, and what's wrong is wrong. And for me, this is not an item that I voted on. This is like, they're like, oh yeah, 10,000, go ahead. I support our first responders, 100%. I support those in the military to fight for our country so that we all have the freedom that we have. So to me, it's not the issue about the cost or what we're feeding them, steak, shrimp, barbecue, pizza. It's the recognition. And it also makes, I would hope, our employees here feel safe to know that if we call 911, they know where to go. So you want to reduce the amount? Does somebody up here wants to do that? Okay.
They want to take, you know, just remove it off the table because they don't support law enforcement? Okay. But I just want to throw it out there that this is not about wasteful spending,
because I am
proud to sit on this water board in the short time I've been here. There is not wasteful spending. And I see
very experienced board members up here, work with all of you. So I'm proud to sit here.
So,
but I'm also former proud to support our first responders. 110% of the shows up.
$10,000 is $33 per employee, not $300. Thank you for the correction.
Yeah, somebody just said that to me.
When you go to lunch now, I think you spend about $33.
That's the cost of eggs, right? So
that's all I want to say.
Chairman, because I'm, when it comes to first responders, I'm the first one to stand up and say, hey, just remember, we're all running out. They're running in. I don't like our military. I'll stand by and hope they save us. And they do. So with that, that's all I have to share.
I just want to be very clear that everybody here supports, knowing your track record and where you stand publicly, and we're all public officials in our previous life as well, in various other capacities. There's no issues about supporting first responders and public safety personnel. That's not the issue. I think there are many ways to exhibit or to promote that other than or addition to a $33 lunch, which is fine. And I understand that, you know, we've talked about this in legislative or community relations committee. There have been some feedback from the public in the environment, political environment that we are in right now, from Washington, D.C. down to the local level as well. The issue is what's appropriate, I think. What's appropriate, and we all know about timing and opportunity and circumstances as well. And I think what I would agree on, and I hear what Director Valerie is saying, if we can reduce the amount or at least throw an alternative amount and discuss this, because if you're talking about salad or pizza, I don't think first responders, you know, if we're going to have to incentivize people to come here to visit us with steaks and lobsters for $33 or even $25, for example, that's a pretty good lunch. Take out $7 or $8 for tents and chairs and what have you, or eating utensils. That's still a pretty good lunch. But people should be here, public safety folks. And they are doing their job. The issue is about public safety. If that is the case, then it should be about the tours and the education and also the opportunity to know what we do and where the toilets are and where the labs are as far as where potential areas for hazardous incidents that could occur. I think first responders, public safety personnel are very conscious of that. And of course, the funding or the money that we spend, this is not a lot. I just find it ironic that we have an agenda today, 32 items on consent that adds up to millions of dollars that we've we barely discuss about it. We pass it without any controversy, and which is fine. But I just find it ironic that we're spending a lot of time over something that should be relatively simple or straightforward to make a decision on. So I would throw out the I'm not sure where the $10,000 come from, whether that's an arbitrary number or that's been worked out with a vendor beforehand. No. But if not, that's fine. Then maybe we can have an alternative number and then bone up or beef up on the issues of touring or educating or informing our neighbors, the first responders, if they come to give them a tour, and also inform them of what we do here. Thank you.
Just to add, there was not a lot of thought in that $10,000 number. So it could be made a little more precise.
And, okay, I see Director Wigan has a comment. But before you speak, Director Wigan, I just wanted to weigh in. I think this is a very well-intentioned effort to thank our first responders. As I mentioned at committee, I think if we – and I think some very good points have been made tonight. I think if we focused in on the Fountain Valley Police and Fire Department, I think this would go off very easily for very little cost, because that's who responds if we call 911 here. So I think that this has kind of crept into something a little larger and involving hundreds and hundreds of people. So I think we should invite the Fountain Valley Police and Fire Department to come here and tour our campus on various shifts so that they all get very familiar with our operation. So that's my two cents. And I'll go to Director Wigand.
I'd like to make a correction on that. Who are the three departments, or was it four, but three I know of, that responded to our fire?
The recent fire we had, I believe there were three cities, Fountain Valley, Huntington, and the Coast.
Right. And those are the ones I chose.
But that was a potential structure fire in our lab, right? So that was, you know, that's the protocol. It's a mutual aid incident. So
right.
Anyways, so we'll go to Director Wigand.
Hi there. Yes, I love this idea as far as supporting and respecting our public safety officers and those around our community. Might we consider maybe tabling this item and bringing it back to our legislative and comm committee? I was supportive of it there, but I did kind of mentally have some reservations that I didn't bring up at the time. And, you know, it seems like maybe there's some ideas here that we could support, but maybe push back on some of the dollar amount that we're looking to spend and promote our first responders, mostly in Fountain Valley, that's where our headquarters is located, maybe those in the surrounding areas. But, you know, do we need to have it be as big of an event as we're thinking? I'm supportive of our public safety, as has been said by all of our directors, but maybe we've kind of rushed into it and maybe scaling back and looking back, okay, is it good to just reach out to our Fountain Valley folks who would respond to us, either in police or fire services, maybe some of our field service areas out in Anaheim and our, you know, Prado area and some of our field inspection areas and some of our testing areas. It does seem like maybe we want to support public safety and have a big event like this, but do we know how many of those folks would show up? How many people would come to that? Would we be expensing a lot of dollars on a meal that nobody comes to? So I think the intention is there that we want to be supportive and be helpful to our folks who are in our community that come and respond if we have issues, but maybe we're kind of jumping the gun on something and not thinking it out thoroughly and having that engaged discussion within ourselves. And it's a great idea, Director Green. I really like it, but maybe we could scale back some of those expenses. It's been mentioned tonight. Maybe we need to just kind of see what it would be if we kind of take a step back and, you know, I would think tabling it this evening would be a great idea. And we can kind of see what we really think we need to do on this. And maybe we, as Director Tran said, maybe have some tours. Maybe we just allocate a few dollars for box lunches and a few guys from Fountain Valley show up, and the police and fire, and they get a little briefing and understanding what we're doing. And we have three or four guys. I don't want to have a big event and then three people show up from our neighboring first responders and then all of our staff. That's great. We can have a lunch. But the true intention of this allocated dollar amount is to have a big event for public safety. And if only a few show up, then we've kind of maybe thrown a bunch of food items at something that nobody comes to. So maybe that's our, at least in my opinion, maybe tabling this and coming back with the legislative and comm committee and refining it, what we think would be a better solution to this than instead of approving it tonight with something that we just really don't know what $10,000 would be spent for. And again, $10,000 isn't that huge of an expense, but we want to be good fiscal stewards of our dollars. And how does that affect ratepayers and how does that affect water consumers? We want to make sure we're cognizant of that. So thanks for listening to me.
Thank you. I see you, Director Jung, but Director Omesko wanted to
make a motion that I agree. I make a motion to carry it on. We'll take it back to committee so we can have a conversation about this or information about how much, how many. So that's my motion that we continue this.
Okay. Second. Okay. We have a motion and a second, but we have further discussion. Director Jung.
Thank you, Mr. President. I do agree with Director Omesko. I think none of us don't value public safety here. We're just concerned about the dollar amount. That said, May is law enforcement and first responder appreciation month. Right. If we can bring this back and have an opportunity to do something that I think really reflects our values as an agency, not only to our employees, but to the valued first responders, I think that's great. So I support Director Omesko's motion to table this and bring it back to the committee. Thank you.
Okay. And Director Sheldon.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I also like that idea, and I will support that as well. I want to comment as to what we've said tonight on this topic. We all support law enforcement, firefighters, our public safety. It's in, and you know, you can buy them things or buy pizza, water. You know, you can't buy your way to your support's in your heart. You can't buy your way to heaven. You can't do good deeds to get in heaven. It's what's in your heart. You know, and I could offer up filet mignon. I could certainly buy steaks for all the law enforcement that come over here. I could do this. In fact, we could all pay $1,000 each. Our 10 directors can pay $1,000 each. I'd be happy to write the first check that we pay for this event. That would be another thing that we can talk about in our committee, because I mean, let's not judge each other based upon how much money we're willing to throw at something. That's not fair or right. And I think it's great because I heard that we're going to have our employees, and I'm not sure where that came from. Did that just come up this afternoon?
No, but
I mean, to join them together, was that always involved? I didn't know that. And then having them do training, well, I don't think they're coming over to be trained. They're coming over for an appreciation, not to work. So it's great that we're going to send this back to our committee and have a longer and better dialogue upon it. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. And since I get the last word briefly, when I arrived here 24 years ago, we had a very robust employee appreciation luncheon here out on the patio. All the directors would don an apron. I would receive orders from Kay Barr and Irv Pickler on what to do. But unfortunately, the employee association sort of took that function over from us for the most part. That was by their request. They wanted to kind of lead that effort. And now I think is there still a picnic offsite that occurs, or that's kind of, I think COVID happened and I think it kind of petered out, right? But anyway, so we've always had that. Maybe that's something we have to examine as well, as maybe bringing that effort back with the directors directly involved. And I think everyone would love to do that. So with that,
I want to make a comment. It was always envisioned with employees. That's the whole point. How do we get to know each other and first responders? This isn't anything new tonight. This was always the vision. And there was, as far as the cost, I think a lot of that cost is like tents and tables and chairs. And you might not need tents depending on when you do it. It depends on how high the sun is or whatever. But certainly it can be a lot less. It wasn't about the food as much as it was getting to know each other, having them get to know us and know this campus for everybody's safety, not only ours, but theirs.
Director Wynn has a comment.
Yes. Please.
Thank you. I like to keep the status quo, and that status quo is that we have been safe and we've been assisted by our first responder at all times and many decades already. And that's the reason why we have very few incidents. And also, I would like to keep the status quo that we do appreciate our staff and we like them to be included in this event. And I think we should keep it very respectable and decent. So give them decent food and make it a respectable event. And the cost, that would be incidental and not a part of my discussion. So far, I think that's very reasonable for a person who is involved in community events for 200 to sometimes even 800 people twice a year. I think that's a very reasonable amount. 26.66 cents per person is actually under what I've been paying, or my organization's been paying, more like $50. But yeah, let's keep it decent and respectable because these are the people we want to appreciate and respect. And also, our staff, the board, needs safety. So we need awareness from the public. And part of that, the public, are the public safety entities. And I don't think that staff would have a problem with some time to figure out who to invite and limit the amount of people that are, I would say, consequential or are important to our cause. For instance, usually when I invite a city, I would invite the mayor and the city manager. For the police department, probably the chief and assistant deputy chief, people who are going to make a difference in our cause. So I think whatever it is, we need to be outreaching to the public. I don't know what kind of press been out there, what kind of criticism we've been getting, but because of that, I think I speak from sincerity. This is what our entity need. We need public awareness, and we need to honor the people who keep us safe. And that includes our employees who has to be out there looking at the wells in the middle of the night. They are also putting their lives on the line. So I don't think there's any cost that is too high to give respect to these people. And I will support it if it comes on the calendar again. And I do have a lot of faith in staff to make this work. Thank you.
Okay.
Chairman, there's a motion and a second.
Yes. So I will have the clerk call the roll.
Roll call, Director Mezquit. Director Bilodeau.
Yes.
Director Green.
Yes.
Director Jung.
Aye.
Director Meeks.
Yes.
Director Nguyen.
Yes.
Director Sheldon.
Yes.
Director Tran? Director Wigand?
Yes.
Director Yeo?
Yes.
Okay, that motion carries 10-0.
Great. Thank you for that robust discussion. That will bring us to informational items. Field Headquarters Recharge Operations Update.
Hey, Mr. President, we finally got some rain and collected some water behind Prado Dam that we can talk about. And Ben Smith is going to give us an update.
Thank you. Let me get rid of this. There we go.
So a little reminder, and those board members who may be newer, the district's surface recharge area, it's in the border of the cities of Anaheim and Orange, and the county of Orange is also involved in these spaces. We own 1,600 acres in this area. 1,100 of those acres are wet, where the water would actually touch. There's 30 distinct recharge facilities, so they look, most of them look like lakes. Four of those 30 are owned by Flood Control District. We have a partnership with them where they allow us to recharge water there. Our total storage of the system's 25,000 acre feet. We have several pump stations and rubber dams to move the water around. In our operational priorities, any water we get, our first thing we want to do with it is percolate it, get it into the ground, and then option number two is to put it into storage. So last week it did rain. So a lot of talk leading into that event. It was 2.5 inches forecast for the Anaheim area. We observed 3.2 inches, so a little bit more. The graphic there on the right is NOAA's observed precipitation, actual precipitation. So you can see up in the mountains, they were getting above 8 inches. And I roughly sketched out there the watershed that drains into Prado Dam. That's that black line into the brown Prado Dam. Prado, inflow to Prado peaked at 10,000 CFS. That's a lot of water. And what we ended up capturing at Prado was 14,400 acre feet. And locally, so water that enters the river below Prado Dam, our staff worked through the night, essentially through the weekend, around the clock, and they captured another almost 1,600 acre feet. So in total, about 16,000 acre feet off this one event. So to try to compare that to some other values, that's more than Mesa Water District's annual demand for water. If that were valued at import cost, that's $16 million of water that got collected. It was an atmospheric river. Got this thing on the top, huh? Actually, two distinct atmospheric rivers. So this forecast can be hard to look at if you haven't seen it before, but our partners at Scripps, CW3E, produce this several times a day. But these dark purple shades at our latitude, about 34 latitude north, it shows the two events that came in. Wednesday was drizzly, Thursday was very heavy, as everybody experienced. So I have a little video here. Hopefully the sound's not out of control. This is 300 CFS coming into Burris Basin. Just, you know, we throw these numbers out. I just wanted to give a visual what that actually looks like. And so the aerial views there on the right of where this video is occurring. And you see right now the water's pretty clear there. So this was early on Friday. This was occurring. And what happened Friday evening, the water turned extremely dirty. What happened is we have the burn scar up San Bernardino. That sediment takes a while. It's 30 miles up, 30, 40 miles up from Prado. It takes a while to reach there. So our typical TSS, total suspended solids value, is like 50 to 80. It peaked somewhere north of 2,000. So we worked with Prado Dam operators. We called them in on Saturday. Hey, slow that water down. Keep it at Prado. Settle that stuff up at Prado so it doesn't come to the recharge facilities, where if we brought that in, it would clog all our lakes. And then we'd have a lot of water we need to percolate with clogged lakes. So very difficult to deal with. So we left it at Prado. It's already cleared up. So this week we are already in full mode of draining out Prado Dam. Right now it's down below 300 TSS. And so typically in a storm event, we see values less than 200. So great rain. We had we're very appreciative of that. Here's our rain history, 14 inches. The red line is the average. Our current year there is all the way on the right, the little yellow bar. So Northern California has been getting wet. There's places that are twice their average right now. SoCal is not. We're the opposite. If you would have asked me on January 31st, I look at our data. That's the second driest year in the history of our data. As of today, now, because of that rain event, we're in the ninth driest year out of our 62 years of data. So it is dry down here in SoCal. There's been questions before, how do we measure our rainfall? We say, oh, it rained 3.2 inches. Like, how do we measure that? We have two gauges at field headquarters to do that. One's read by a human here. So essentially, it's a funnel with kind of like a graduated cylinder, a calibrated glass cylinder under it. So it collects a larger area into an elongated space. So that's how you get that precision, that very accurate value. We also have what's called the tipping bucket. This is an automatic thing. It fills on one side of that black cup and then turns, and then fills the other side and turns. So we get to see in real time, it collects on our SCADA, our data management system, every 100th of an inch it rotates. So where we are in our recharge summary, I know I put my job in jeopardy every time I bring this graph up, but we're out here on the right. The green line is the rainfall. Orange is storage at Prado, so it might be hard to see, but Prado has peaked and is coming down. The blue line is storage at our Anaheim and Orange recharge area. So that's where we are today. I have back here a year ago. So much different story from a year ago. A year ago, everything was full, and now we're essentially half full at the moment. And what are we looking at for the rest of the season? Next week is predicted not only to be dry but hot for this time of year. That's this graph up on the top left, the seasonal prediction. So this is for the next couple months. We're also on the edge of this tan color, so likely below average precipitation. So with that, I can take any questions.
Great. Are there any questions? Well, thank you for that fantastic presentation. Anyone online have any questions? Okay. Well, thank you very much. Very compelling. That brings us to the next item, which is the Santa Ana Watershed Project Authority update. I did attend the meeting. And the agenda is actually contained in the packet under item 35. The big item that came up was SAPA issued a task order because they are currently preparing a climate adoption and resiliency plan because they did receive a grant, a state grant, to provide this to prepare the document. So it's for the most part at no cost to the member agencies because it's being funded by a grant, and that encompasses the entire watershed. And that is my report. So that'll bring us to item number 36, which is the Water Resources Summary Report.
Mr. President, that information is contained in the packet.
Great. That'll bring us to committee conference meeting reports. Communication Legislative Committee Chair Tran.
Packets in the
Great. And Water Issues Committee Chair Green.
information's in the packet.
And Administration and Finance Committee Chair Yeo.
The information is in tonight's packet. Thank you.
Great. Are there any reports from my directors on committees, conferences, or meetings attended at district expense at which a quorum of the board was present? Seeing none, that'll bring us to the President's report. I have no direct report tonight, so that'll bring us to the general manager's report.
Two things quickly, Mr. President. I did want to mention regarding the Los Angeles fire that our lab is assisting the Los Angeles Department of Water and Power with sample analysis during days when they have like a peak workload. We'll help them out to get analysis done quickly and get that information back up there to LA. as they bring facilities back online. So we are doing that to help out with that fire. And I wanted to mention something completely different. Check your calendars and try to keep March 6th free. We're working with a company that provides free plane rides. They're called EcoFlights. They're an environmental group, and they like to highlight watersheds, rivers, streams, and the importance of those watersheds and water to the community. But they have small planes, and they can take up to four people at a time, and you would get an aerial view of the watershed, go all the way up to San Bernardino and Seven Oaks Dam, and go all the way to the ocean. It's about a 45-minute flight, and we will be sending an email out to directors here in the next few days to see who's available. They use an airport maybe out in Corona, Chino, or Riverside. You'd have to drive out there, and they like to do it in the morning. We're getting all the details set up, but it's you know, we've stumbled upon these people. Lisa Haney actually knows them and has been working with them, and we'll organize this. So we'll see how many directors we can get up there. And then in the future, we could use this as something to educate people about the watershed. You know, leaders in the community, local politicians, we can give them like a more formal tour and of OCWD and give them a plane ride. So that's why we're kind of experimenting right now how this would work, and maybe it could lead to something bigger in the future. So March 6th, if you can, keep that open, and we'll get back to you.
Great. Yeah, let's go ahead.
John, this, the organization has a nonprofit. Yeah. Activities that they may be interested in.
There's no strings attached. I've confirmed that, but they are a big environmental group. They have a big website that talks about their activities all over the country, but they just like to bring awareness to water issues and the importance of water and water clean. So, but it is free. This is a free lunch.
I believe there's another agenda, but I guess we'll hear that.
But there's no, you're.
There you go.
It's like the action plan that Director Bildo's doing with SAPA. That's not free because that will cost the taxpayers millions of dollars. And with it to implement it. Oh.
Well, there you go. But I can assure you we have a seat at the table. March 6th just has to be my birthday, but I'm definitely afraid of small planes, so I'm a hard pass. So, no, thank you. Stay right here on the ground. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That'll bring us to director's reports. Any director's reports this evening? Yes.
Yes, I would like to congratulate Marwan Khalifa, CFO of Mesa Water. He is the new interim executive director for Aqua. So congratulations.
Great. You know, I do have one report. I'm sorry. The Midway City Mutual Water Company, which serves 9 square blocks in Midway City and has 650 customers and incorporated in 1927, their water delivery system is very undersized when it comes to fire protection. The pipes are just very small. The fire authority has expressed some great concern about their system given the LA County fires. And so Director Tran and I are going to go to their board meeting next month and have a dialogue with them. I know that there are grants available for these types of systems from the state, and we're going to see what we can do to perhaps help them to identify other grant funding to appropriately size their system or what other options are available to them. There are three small mutual water companies in Midway City, but I believe their system is sort of the most undersized and So we're going to see what we can do, and perhaps coming back to John and seeing if staff has any suggestions on helping them as well. They have one well. And that is my report on that.
Director Wigan has his hand raised.
Oh, yes. Director Wigan, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. As my role on the City Council of Newport Beach, I get to serve on the Orange County Sanitation District. And they have a shuttle that provides tours of GWRS on their end. And I had asked staff to study through our the administration committee that I sit on to study a proposal perhaps to allow Orange County Water District to have access to that shuttle so that we may have, there's from time to time opportunities to do GWRS tours, but sometimes there's a lack of transportation. So like say in Newport Beach, we have the Oasis Senior Center and they would love to do a tour of GWRS, but they don't have transportation. They might have transportation for a big tour, maybe to say like an Indian casino or something out in the desert, but not to a short tour of GWRS. So seeing if maybe we could partner with them. And it was just an idea that I had. So I'm just having them study that if it's feasible on their end, and then they will bring it maybe to us, to at least our general manager to see if there's liability issues, if there's any type of cost sharing issues or something to save us both money and get some use out of their shuttle. But I don't know if it would work out, but I just wanted to let the board here know that I had asked them to study it. And then it may come to us. It may not. It might be too much of a liability. So just, you know, throwing out ideas that the fact I get the unique ability to serve at OCWD and at OCSAN and thought it might be something we could share cost-wise. So just throwing it out there and staff hopefully will get back with me on an answer and then we'll then pursue it here at OCWD. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Seeing no other director reports, that'll move us to the general counsel report.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. We have two closed sessions this evening. One of the closed sessions we're not going to need, but we do have two. We need a closed session for conference with legal counsel to discuss existing litigation per Government Code Section 54956.9A, OCWD versus San Mino South Basin case, and then also for a conference with labor negotiators pursuant to Government Code Section 54957.6, with OCWD's designated representative is you, President Bilodeau, and the non-representative employee being the general manager. And I recommend we now recess to closed session.